CJCL Toronto.
Hello, hello on this wonderful Saturday morning. Brent Gunning, Sam McKee. It is the Golf Show on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. The Golf Show is brought to you by your local Ontario Subaru dealers. Welcome to the uncommon performance in a Subaru with legendary, symmetrical, full-time, all-wheel drive. Sammy McKee, how are you doing on this wonderful, wonderful Saturday?
I'm doing very well, Gunner. Little chilly out there this morning. I'm excited to be here with you on Saturday. Love talking golf. But 3 degrees, got in my car this morning. We'll say brisk out there. If you had a tee time this morning, you're probably got the layers on. You know me, I layer up. I got the long sleeve on. I got the sweater. I got the jacket. I really hate being cold, so I'll go over the top. And then by the time you get to the ninth hole, you're like, oh my God, I have way too many layers on. And then you're carrying it around for the rest of the day. But yeah. We're looking at a 3 degrees today. We're going up to a high of around 8. So not the warmest day that it's been. There's been some really nice warm days this week. So you can still play golf. The sun is shining. But, yeah, a little chillier. And I'm not loving next week's forecast. Have you had a look at that, Gunner?
Yeah, I did, because this will shock you. I wanted to play some golf next week. And the weather's not going to scare me away. But, yeah, I didn't like. Also, one other thing before I let you jump back in. We're doing Sam McKee's Fashion Corner because you say, oh, you got to take the layers off. The thing I hear most on the golf course from you at this time of year is, I got to say, boys, I'm dressed perfectly. You nail it every time. Whatever it is, wind chill, no wind chill, sun's out, cloud cover, it doesn't matter. I am always there with either one layer too little or one layer too much, and you are always just looking at me. Not me. I feel great.
Yeah, I appreciate that compliment. But, yeah, Monday we're looking at some mixed precipitation, some snow involved, 5 degrees. Tuesday, God. 6.
Pray Wednesday. For the super snow.
Heading towards Thursday, where I have a tee time because the Blue Jays play an afternoon game that day, and no real Kipper and Bourne. And it's 14 degrees that day, so hopefully the weather it holds up. But, yeah, we're looking at weather turning finally, and we're heading into golf season here, Gunner. So I'm ready to rock. I'm really excited. Played some golf this week. Played twice this week. I'm getting in the TikTok game. I'm really just a golf content creator now, Gunner. I'm just a real content beast like our boy Adam Stanley.
I was going to say, at Adam Stanley, coming for you. You won't look as you won't be as happy shooting your TikToks as he looked in his wonderful picture with Jim Nance there. Happiest man of all time. Well, other than us, because we're talking golf on a Saturday morning here.
Yeah. So I just quickly want to get to something. I played Tam O'Shanter on Tuesday morning, and it was amazing. First tee time out. Spectacular, 7 a.m. Then I teed it up at Don Valley on Thursday at about 7:30. And I will say I got paired up both times with just, eclectic characters that you get paired up with, which is always fine by me. I love meeting new people. I have no problem with it. So I got paired up with a foursome on Thursday at Don Valley. And one of the guys that I played with, I don't know, he probably was close to 75, in his 70s at least. He talked to me about how he used to be a member at somewhere. I forget where it was. And he now is just going to play once a week. So he's playing at Don Valley, gave me the whole story. And so I play the blues usually when I play golf. I mean, you know, I hit it fairly well. I play the not the tips at most courses, but at all the Toronto City courses, I'll play the tips. And the guy that was 75 insisted on playing the tips. So listen, he wasn't a bad golfer. Like, he had some decent ball speed. He could hit the ball fine. Like, it wasn't like he was terrible. But it just really, really added time to the day because he's just not hitting it far enough. He was hitting it probably 180, 190 off the blues at Don Valley. And Don Valley is not Tam O'Shanter. Like, it's legitimately long. There's some hard holes. And I actually said to him during the round, I said, look, man, like, I'm not going to be offended. No one's going to be, you know, think you're less of a man if you move up to the whites. The other guys we were playing with were half his age playing from the whites. And he just was like, I've been playing golf for 40 years and all of this. And I was like, okay, well, I just created a mortal enemy here by saying something. But I don't understand the need for the pride. And listen, if you're feeling sort of, I don't know, ashamed of moving up or whatever, don't. Play to your skill level. And we always talk about how slow Toronto City golf courses are. It's a really important thing when it comes to pace that you play the tees that you are most suited to. Because if you don't, it's going to just add an extra, you know, it's going to add an extra couple minutes per hole, and that's going to add a couple extra minutes per nine, and that's going to just push everything back. So I just wanted to get that off my chest because it's just an important thing for me. It really, really adds to the pace of play.
Well, I'm gonna put my hand up here. You know, I was somebody who for a long time, you know, I play often. Not most. I've branched out. I have other golf friends other than you now. But, you know, we play a lot of rounds together. I'll throw a shout out to our buddy Eric Prime, often rounding out the foursome. And you guys are back there at the Blues. So forever, I felt like, well, I guess that's where I got to go, too. And last year, I just made the decision. And I will shout out another. Well, I'm not going to put us on this level. One day, maybe. Canadian golf ledge. Lauren Rubenstein, he is the one banging the table on this. Play the tees you should. I love when courses have a mix and match. I love when they have a blue-white or even a red-white if you want to really move up there. There is nothing wrong with it. The game will be so much more fun. You are supposed to hit a – when our boy, Stanley Thompson, was designing Lakeview, okay, he had in mind you're going to hit a mid-iron into this green. You're going to hit a long iron. Well, probably when he was doing it, you're going to use the scooper on this hole, okay? But there's certain clubs in mind to go into certain greens. And if you're not playing the right tee, you're going in with the wood to everything. And look, hey, I watch more LPGA golf than anyone. Go in with your with all your clubs on your the need head covers. I love it. I'm a guy that has a million woods in my bag. Mm. But the game is so much more fun when you can hold a wedge and you're looking to do that to get up and down for par. Give yourself a look at birdie. Constantly grinding and feeling like, you know, bogey or double bogey is your par is no way to live life. So, and again, you want to talk about the pride aspect of it. You and I, we both saunter up to the tee. I think you're like, you know, a centimeter taller than me. We're both, you know, tall, strapping-ish men. And I got to suck it up. You go to the Blues, I go to the Whites, and you know what? We have a great day every single time. So let me be the poster boy for that. Play the right tees. You'll enjoy it so, so much more.
Love that, Gunner. Good stuff.
Well, while we continue our advice corner here, I think there's a certain thing you want to shout out to people about Golf Canada. I believe they have really stepped up in a big way.
Love Golf Canada. We're very close with them. My boy Dan Pino over there, the director of public relations, is an unbelievable guy.
I just know him as the czar, as far as I know.
I talked to him last year because we played with him, and he was talking about their new app and how they developed it. And I was hesitant to use it last year because they didn't have the Apple Watch connection. And when you're playing golf, there's nothing worse than being the guy that's pulling out your phone on every. I don't want to be Ben Ennis here and pull out my phone on every shot and, you know, look at it for the yardage.
Let me laser the front of this bunker that I'm going to end up in anyway. That's a couple. That's not Ben. That's a lot of guys.
That's a couple drive-by shots at Ben Ennis on this show. I hope he's not listening. Anyways, I was hesitant to use it because it didn't have the Apple Watch connection. Golf Canada this year has done an unbelievable job with their app. They have really, really taken it to the next level, and it's now got the Apple Watch connection. So you can get the yardages like you would on any other paid app that you do on your Apple Watch. It gives you the ability to enter in your score, enter in your putts if you want to do that. I mean, some people want to, you know, that's not what you want to. You don't want to torture yourself out there. But I did it for the first time, entered in my putts, entered in my strokes. And it's just really, really good and accessible, and I'm really impressed with it. So I just want to make sure that if you're hesitant on getting a Golf Canada subscription, make sure you go get one, because now you get the app on your iWatch and on your phone if you want to pull it out. But it's really great. They've done an excellent job with it. So just wanted to give them a shout out for that.
Yeah, and I think, again, speaking as somebody who came to the game a little later in life, took it less seriously when I first started, maybe you're sitting there going, I don't need to sign up for Golf Canada, become a member, I play X number of times a year. I don't have the list in front of me right now, but the benefits are bountiful.
Awesome. And
so
guess
you and
what?
I, both members.
Give them $50 a year to the national, you know, organization for golf. I just do it, you know.
Yeah.
Just
and here's something else. If you want to give them a little bit more money, tickets on sale for the RBC Canadian Open right now.
My mom bought tickets for.
Yes, please. We were going to talk about this, but you have to tell this story.
My mom bought tickets for the Friday at the RBC Canadian Open. She's like, "Who's the concert?" I'm like, "That's a good question. I'm gonna look it up." And I'm like, "Mom, it's Flo Rida. You ever heard of Apple Bottom Jeans? Boots with the fur."
Marianne, have fun. Have fun.
She'll get her Apple Bottom Jeans on and have a great time. So, anyways.
Hey, I love that initiative for too long. Golf has been too stuffy, and I love that they find a way to branch it out. Concerts being held at Richview Collegiate, which is very funny to me as a guy who grew up in the west end of the city. All right, we've stared at our own navels for about 10 minutes here to start the golf show. We talked about Golf Canada. Any last kind of Masters thoughts? We did our Masters recap pod, but I mean, it's something that kind of lingers. I don't know if you're still just smiling ear to ear, thinking of Scottie Scheffler, square jaw, and steel stomach. I mean, I know we kind of talked it to death, but feels a little silly not to at least touch on it quickly here.
I think as I've gotten further away from it, the more impressed I am with Rory McIlroy's Sunday. Even after we gushed about it when I was at on Tuesday and Monday, which seems like a long time ago anyways, I really feel like that was such an incredible round and such a special moment. I mean, to go 8-under in the final round at Augusta, to give yourself second place, is just an incredible accomplishment. And I loved it. And it, like I said on Monday, it was a final round that was pretty lacking from the drama aspect, from the drama point of view, I guess outside of the chip-in that kind of won Scottie Scheffler the Masters. And we needed something. And we had one of the game's biggest stars with kind of a renaissance performance, shooting 8-under, shooting a 64 on the final round at Augusta. The sort of moments with him and Morikawa chipping it in on the out of the sand on 18. I think my lasting memory from it, other than Scottie Scheffler's dominance and sort of arrival as a true threat to win any major he enters, will be Rory McIlroy's final round gunner. And I know that is probably surprising to you because of how much I make fun of you for it, but I loved it. And it was a really, really awesome round and impressive.
I would have expected the exact opposite take of, you know what, now that I've sat on that for 4 days, who cares? Guy's out of it, shoots, so goes low when it doesn't matter. That's what I thought was coming. Here's what I'd say about it is if it's the start of something, if it's the spark, if it's the lighting of the wick, whatever term you want to use, we're going to look back on that, and that's going to be a really, really special Masters moment. If this is what kind of gets Rory back into that mode and he is in contention at the U.S. or the Players or the Open Championship, then it's going to feel like a really, really special moment. And I hope that's the case, because I think, again, he showed that, look, golf has a ton of young stars and it has a bunch of people you want to cheer for and you want to hold up, but he is still among the 1% of the 1% that can get even the haters and doubters like you, Mateesh, 100%. That can even get you going. So there's no debate about that.
Like I love to hate on you for him, and I love to give you a hard time about him, but there's few people that can electrify a golf course the way Rory McIlroy can when he's got it going, and that was one of those days. So
I agree. That's my that's also my big takeaway. So I think this is a perfect transition to talk about one of the game's best players who evokes the exact opposite of well, is nothing the opposite of extreme? I don't know. Maybe it is, but Patrick Cantlay. This is a guy who he is the go-to pick in like your second bracket of Masters pools now. He doesn't get thrown into that top group with like your Rory and your DJ and your Rom, but he is always right there. He's always in the mix. But is anybody, and again, I don't think anybody dislikes him. I don't think you're rooting against him. I just think he is the most, it's funny, everything goes back to Leafs. It's like a dirty word. He's just very vanilla. There's nothing that gets you going about him. I think back to that with Cantlay. I think back to that, you know, duel with Rom at the Tour Championship last year. Anybody pulling for Cantlay there outside of his family and his friend Matt Ryan, apparently? Like, I can't believe it. And, of course, that's his friend.
I was
going to
say,
course,
that's the perfect guy you could have named, honestly. Matt Ryan, the other most vanilla guy in his perspective sport. But we bring him up because he's leading at Harbortown this weekend. He went 66-67 for 9-under through two rounds. Not bad.
That'll do.
I hate to say it, and he's never going to listen to the show, so I'll just say it. He's just so dorky, Gunner. It's just, I don't know, there's something about him. He's just, the way he walks around, there's no emotion. The putting stroke just drives me crazy. Like, do you have to do 100 steps? Like, every putt, it's like 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3. It drives me crazy. And he just never does a fist pump. There's no emotion. Even with that duel, you talk about the one he had with Rom. You look Bryson. Back to the week before. Was that the week before or 2 weeks before when he had that unbelievable duel with Bryson? And he was barely celebrating then. It's just, I understand that a lot. Oh, he's the silent assassin. He's this guy that is stoic. He's a killer. I understand all those sort of arguments for him. But at the same time, like, it's entertainment. Would it kill you to show a little bit of emotion? You're supposed to be one of the big stars in the game. And I really think that's what holds him back from being one of the super-duper stars in the game, is just how vanilla he is. No, because his game, it's up there with literally anyone in the world. You can put him up there with anyone on any given day. You look at how he played at the Ryder Cup. This guy is an absolute killer. I don't care about him because he's so boring, Gunnar.
Yeah, you did highlight the one time I was pulling for him was when he was in that duel with Bryce. And I'm like, come on, Kentley, slay the dragon. You can do it.
And
come
he did.
On. And he did. That. And again, but that just speaks to it. Another, again, pick your guy. Morikawa, Hovland, Rom. I don't know. Throw Zalatoris in the mix here. Any of those guys has that duel, and it's playoff hole after playoff hole. And Bryson's driving it 40 yards by him, and it doesn't matter because he's getting up and down. We look at this as like, and then he goes on to do it against Rom in the Tour Championship. It's like, check, check, that guy's a guy now. We all think about him. And not that we don't think about Cantlay as a great player, but it's just he had those two amazing moments against two bright, fiery players, and we're all sitting there going, okay, nice.
Yeah, great.
Good job. Well
done.
Hey,
can we watch the real stars now?
Yeah, it's just, it is amazing. I mean, I even think of a guy like Zalatoris, who at least he has the thing going for him. It's, oh, he's the skinny guy, and he's got the weird putting stroke, and he looks like he's 12 years old and Happy Gilmore's caddy. Cantlay feels like a PGA Tour player as Tiger was coming up. Like, it feels like all the guys Tiger was going
against.
It's
a great
just the
point.
Mark O'Meara's of the world. And even O'Meara had, like, so much more emotion, and you hear these great stories about him. I don't know. Who knows? Maybe in 20 years when John Rahm's writing his book, we'll hear all these great stories about Cantlay or something like that. But it's just, yeah, it's just he feels like a Tour player from 20 or 25 years ago of just those guys we think of kind of getting slayed by Tiger.
All right. I completely agree. Should we maybe stop crapping all over Cantlay? Because I don't really have a whole lot else to say about him. But yeah,
nope.
It's just not the sexiest superstar in the sport in a sport that's full of sort of sexy superstars. And listen, a lot of them are kind of scuffling right now. Like, you look at Justin Thomas. I mean, he had some moments in the Masters, but ultimately I think he finished outside the top 10. You look at Rom, what he's done recently. I guess you can look at Rory, and he had that round that was unbelievable. But before that, he was kind of scuffling. There hasn't been a ton of the big name superstars that have been at the top of the league. You think back to the start of last season just how every weekend we're like, this leaderboard is unbelievable. And now it's more of like a lot of like your Seb Strakas of the world and, your Joel Damons, which I'm not getting, still great players, but the name power in terms of what's been at the top of the leaderboard has lacked in other tournaments as opposed to what we saw at the start of last year.
Yeah, it definitely has felt that way.
Or maybe
way.
Just Scheffler just wins them all, so that just kind of takes his excitement
the thing,
out of it.
Though. It goes to him being the world, and again, I don't want to go back to relitigate it. Look, the formula is what it is. He won the tournaments, and he just stamped it home with a Masters win, so no one's trying to take it away from him. But again, I don't look at that as necessarily Scheffler climbing the mountaintop. Of course he did, but I look at the other side of it. When Rory was number one in the world, he held it for over a year. When DJ was number one in the world, he held it for a long time. Nobody's going to be Tiger and hold it for, 4 or 5 years straight like he did, 300 and some odd weeks, whatever it is. Or I guess that's like 6 years. Nobody's going to do that. But the fact that it feels like right now this is going to be a baton that, I don't know, I would fully imagine somebody clips Scottie Scheffler by the time the year is done, because they have a hot stretch like Cantlay had at the end of last year, winning the BMW and then winning the Tour Championship. Like, I can easily see a world where that happens. And it just kind of goes to show that nobody's grabbing the Tour kind of and taking it for their own. And that says a lot about the talent that we have now, but it also says something that the top guys, somebody hasn't really been able to separate themselves. And I'd love to see it. I don't know if you told me I had to pick one guy to do it. For the longest time, I thought, it's Rom. Guys, it's Rom. And it might still be, but I don't know. It might be Colin Morikawa. I don't know. Like, there are just so many guys you can kind of pick and choose from. Anything else on that? Or I know we kind of both wanted to talk about just what kind of like a cool, chill vibe Harbortown has. I don't really know how else to put it.
I like Harbortown a lot, and I feel like the guys who play on tour like it a lot as sort of a come down after the Masters. You go there, and it's like, wow, these greens. Jeez, these are a lot easier than Augusta.
Feels like vacation.
Yeah, wow. These fairways are a lot more forgiving than they are at Augusta. Like, I just really do feel like this is a great field. A lot of the big names are playing, and a lot of them probably just need to go there and decompress, quite honestly, because of how tightly wound you are playing at Augusta, and every shot is just so important because of disaster that strikes and all around the greens there and the stuff that can happen to you if you putt it 3 feet too far. Going to Harbortown, which is a very, very cool course, and I think you mentioned this to me before our show started, but you know, I'm never looking forward to the tourney after the Masters. I'm always kind of like, you know, I invested so much time in golf last weekend. I'm probably going to, you know, it's a big sports weekend here. Raptors are kicking off tonight. But I always find myself being like, I'm going to turn on an old golf channel here and see what's going on. Because guys are just hitting shots. It's just a different thing. Like, guys are dropping darts. Birdies are falling. You know, your leader's at 9 under after 2 rounds. It's a bit of a birdie fest. But at the same time, it's a really aesthetically pleasing course. And I really do enjoy this tournament. And you know what else I really enjoy about this tournament? Looking at this leaderboard, we got 4 Canadians in the top 25, which is very nice. Obviously, we got Connors, and we have Hadwin, Roger Sloan, and Adam Svensson all in the top 25. So very nice for the Canadians through the first 2 rounds at Harbortown.
Yeah, honestly, looking at the Canadians there, obviously Connors and Hadwin are the two that kind of jump to mind. And I'm really happy to see Hadwin have the success he's had this week, because he was on an absolute tear heading into the Masters. Now, he didn't qualify for the field this year. And, you know, look, guys take weeks off all the time. I'm not sitting here going, oh, man, he's going to forget how to play golf. But when you're on such a roll like that, you just want to keep going, keep going, keep going. So it's really nice for Hadwin to get back in a big field, full field event here, and have the result he's having. Also, you mentioned how good the field is. Obviously, it's because players love the course. Obviously, it's the PGA Tour. You're going to have a decent field anyway. But we'd be remiss. We were shouting out the RBC Canadian Open earlier on. That's definitely part of the reason why the field's looking so good. They have the RBC sponsorship down there. Of course, they have a big roster of guys on tour, so great to see them getting in the mix.
Good on RBC for getting all those big guys.
Absolutely. Honestly, we love the field. We get up here, and I'm sure they feel the same way in South Carolina. We talk about Connors as well, another ace. This guy is all the time. He has 4 of them now, going back to, what is it, 2019. I'm still convinced it'll happen for me one day, but man, Corey Connors, the 4 of them since 2019, part of it is, look, all these guys obviously are pretty decent ball strikers on tour, but I do think that's part of the reason why. The guy just hits it so flush, he's firing at pins all the time. Eventually, one's going to go in, and for him, it's not one. It's one every year since 2019.
It's hard to fathom. That, like, obviously there's some luck involved here. It's a hole in one. It's not like it's, you know, he's got an advantage over everybody else. All of them hit it really good, and all of them hit it at pins all day long. I mean, 4 to go in is some luck involved, but I like what you said there. Guy stripes it, and he is dropping darts constantly. I do feel like he is in the top 10 in the world of guys that can get aces a lot. Is that a fair way to put it?
He made 4 since 2019.
No, he's number one. Number one. But I feel like if I was going to put I guess it's just a stupid thing to say, but like if I was going to, without the stats, if I was going to put a list together of guys, it would start with him. It would start with Morikawa, Zalatoris. Like, he is in that conversation with guys who are unbelievable ball strikers on tour. So I 100%, I love that a Canadian has the most aces on tour since 2019. 4 is a stupid number. And Gunnar, I am convinced I'll never get one. No, I just don't think it'll ever happen. I don't know. I just get this feeling that it'll just never happen. I don't play par threes very well. I'm always thinking about a hole-in-one. I just always pull it. I don't know. My short irons, I pull. That's my miss. So I'll just never get a hole-in-one.
So
I'm convinced.
It's so funny that you say that, because, you know, as we found talking about many sports in our time here at Sportsnet 590 The Fan, is you are, you know, more or less an optimist in life. You think things will go well. You assume the sun will rise tomorrow. Mm. I need to see it before I know that will be the case. I always assume the worst. But no matter how I'm playing, I could be having the absolute worst round of my life. I can be unable to find the club face. But if it's a par 3 under 165, I'm convinced. Yeah, maybe. Maybe now's the time. Like, I step up every single time. It's the only time in my life I expect something good to happen. And then I'm immediately crushed with disappointment. And it's funny, the closest call I've had, I actually was, I don't know if this is the closest call, but I was playing with you, Fabro,
Huberl.
And I believe Huberl. Yeah. And a pull out a 9 iron, and
thin.
I skull it.
Skinny as hell.
skinny as Will Zalatoris. And it goes right by the hole.
Yeah.
It was tracking. And I would take it. I would take a thin, skinny 9 iron all day, however it needs to happen.
I'm thinking about all the Toronto golf holes where it would be really entertaining to get a hole in one. All of them would be great. But there's one at Don Valley. I was just playing on Thursday. And it'd be such a great hole to get it on. I think it's number 13 after the long, number 14 after the long par 5, the one with the water, the horrible hole on the back 9, the par 5.
Yeah.
The one I just write an 8 down and go to the next tee, basically. but it's this elevated tee box. It's a nice big green. You're looking down at it. Like, it just, you could picture it hitting the front of the green, rolling up and going in. So I think it's number 13 at, or number 13 or number 14 that I'm really, really hoping for one. So there you go.
You know, if I could pick any hole in GTA golf to make a one on, you know.
Oh, number 17 at Lakeview. Is that right?
Oh, no, it's not. Because it's the hole I've taken the most pictures of in my life.
Oh, number is that number? I was gonna say, is that number
six or seven? Yeah, six or seven there.
Ray Bend's open now. We should head out there soon.
We absolutely should. And look, we always shout out City of Toronto Golf Courses. They do a great job. Local munis everywhere. Lifeblood of this game. Honestly, like it sounds like I'm, you know, I cannot explain to you where I'd be in this game of golf without munis, and I'm sure all of you out there as well. And I'll say, City Course is open earlier than a lot of the private ones. So
for
good
sure.
On you there.
So a couple of buddies of mine, another foursome that I play with, played Brave End yesterday. Can you imagine how windy it was up there?
My God.
They said they could barely turn the cart around some of these corners, because I don't know if you've ever, like, if people listening have ever played Brave End. It's an incredible course in Mississauga up on top of the old garbage dump. It's a really cool link style, unique in Toronto. There's not a lot of courses like it around, for cheap at least. Like, you got your Eagle's Nest and you got different places, but I think it's like $60 with a cart. It's excellent value. But boy, if it's windy, you're going to bed tired that night, because you're driving into the wind, you're walking into the wind, get a little blustery up there. So if you want to, you know, an open experience, that's the place to head in Toronto.
Yeah, I won't bury the other course for this, but you and I had a year where every single major, with the exception of Augusta, we did play a place with fast greens. We were probably reaching a little on that. But right before the U.S. Open, we played a course that, how can I put this nicely, decided not to cut the fairway. So it was pretty much all rough. It was pretty much all rough out there. So that was an experience. Lost about 800 balls, which is not uncommon for me. But for you and the rest of our playing group, that was not great. And then we played right before the Open Championship. We went and played a day at Brae Bend when it was just blowing up a storm up there. And it was an awesome, awesome experience. And then I feel like the PGA is just any nice day you have with friends.
Oh, got her.
Ready for the PGA. I don't know. What's the defining characteristic of it? I don't know. Just a fun day, and there's a lot of cash up for grabs, which is not the case when you and I play golf. I know we want to talk about Bryson, but we got to get to our boy John McCarthy here. Oh, did you hear? He played Augusta. We've had Adam Stanley on, our Augusta correspondent last week, who played it. Now we're going to have John McCarthy on, of course, the lead golf writer, national golf writer with the Post Media chain there. Can't wait to get his thoughts. Also, got to talk about Bryson. I see a text coming in that I want to read as well. Keep those coming on the text line, 590, 590. Please include your name and location. As always, very, very happy to be here on the Golf Show on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. And the Golf Show is brought to you by your local Ontario Subaru dealers. Welcome to Uncommon Performance in a Subaru with legendary, symmetrical, full-time, all-wheel drive. Golf Show continues next on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Golf Show, Brent Gunning, Sam McKee here with you for another half hour or so on this wonderful Saturday morning. And the Golf Show is brought to you by your local Ontario Subaru dealers. Welcome to the Uncommon Performance in a Subaru with legendary, symmetrical, full-time, all-wheel drive. We are very, you know, before Monday, I would have said we're very happy to talk to our next guest. But now we are truly honored to be joined by John McCarthy, national golf writer, Post Media. John, how are you doing on this Saturday? And have you come down yet from Monday?
I have not come down from Monday. I'm a new person now. Things have changed a lot. Of course, but no, it was what a day it was. It was a great week, and it was, you know, obviously as a golfer, we all know it was the greatest golf day of my life.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's everybody has their bucket list courses. Oh, I'd love to play Pebble. Oh, the old course is St. Andrews. This is the one. Everybody knows this is the one. It's the only one. You need to know someone or be the luckiest guy in the world. You know, I have to say, if you haven't done so already, for first things first, shame on you. Second things second, go read the story that you wrote, John. It's incredible. I don't know that I can call it a page turner because I read it on my phone, but if there were pages, they would have been on fire. I was turning so fast. Like, it was incredible to kind of get you to walk us through your day. You know, I won't spoil it. I won't get you to go shot by shot for us here, but is there one hole that you, I don't want to say was beyond expectations, because look, every hole at Augusta is special, but is there any one that you say, oh, it's, you know, I'll just throw a number out there, it's six, it wasn't that special, but it kind of blew you away? We all know Amen Corner, we all know 16. Was there one that stood out that maybe you didn't expect?
One that I didn't, well, the only thing I would say that really stood out that I didn't expect was how I felt on the first green, because we all sort of, we know all about the first tee jitters, and we've had them, you know, on any golf course, with in any game you play often, but I felt strangely okay on the first tee, maybe because, like, the jitters lasted 3 days before I got out there. But when I got on the first green, and all that sort of energy and the heart rate that you have, all of a sudden you have to calm it down and try and make a 15-foot, I had a birdie putt, a 15-foot birdie putt on the first hole. My hands would, like, they wouldn't stop shaking. I kept sort of shaking them out, and I couldn't get my hands to stop shaking before I had to make this downhill putt on Augusta. And I made contact, but it wasn't a great putt. I missed it, and it rolled 3 feet past. And then I remember just, I was at that Masters where Ernie Els six putted from 3 feet on the first green, basically right where, near where I was standing. And I looked at that 3-footer and I was like, you know, if this day is going to get off to the right start, I really need to make this 3-foot putt. So I did not expect, like, 5 minutes into my round to have a 3-foot putt that was making me, like, sweat and shake, but I made the putt, and it actually, you know what? I didn't miss a putt inside 4 feet all day, which is, I think, really helped my nerves out there. I was making short putts.
Take that, Scheffler.
Yeah.
So I'm interested in the process. So you said in the story that you found out on Saturday that you were going to be playing?
No. So the draw was held Friday morning, which normally, like, I've been to a number of these, and I normally remember when the draw is being held, and I checked the board, but for whatever reason this week, I forgot that it was on Friday, and I was out interviewing Corey Connors after his round, and my friend Frank from the Journal de Montreal was standing there after I talked to Connors, and he said, oh, what are you doing Monday? And I thought he was just, I thought he was going to arrange a round somewhere locally, and I was like, you know, nothing. And he says, because we have a tee time right there. And he points to the first tee because he had somehow won as well. And so that was the moment. The rest of the day was a bit of a blur. I'm trying to remember to write my stories and everything. But from Friday morning, Saturday, and all day Sunday, it was pretty much on my mind. I won't say the back of my mind, the front of my mind.
So did they make you withhold the information that you got, that you won the draw? Because you tweeted it on Sunday, right? Did they make you withhold that information? Because I feel like I would have been screaming that from the mountaintops the second I found out.
Well, there's a meeting on Saturday that tells you some of the rules and what you can do and what you can't do, and you can ask all the questions. So before that meeting, I wasn't going to say it. I didn't know what the rule. I didn't know what we were allowed to say. And in the end, they didn't want the invitation on social media. Like, so I tweeted, like, the envelope, but not the inside of the envelope. Some guys did, but I was like, whatever their rules are, I'm going to follow them until I'm on the golf course.
Oh, man, can you imagine that story? It's like, so you won the lottery and you got to play Augusta? Well, I won the lottery, but then I tweeted out a picture of it, so I didn't get to. Like, I am right there with you. The other thing I loved, you know, a little line from your story, I wrote it down here, from the night before. Sleep would not come easy, though. Nothing screams confidence like reading through 3 years of swing notes saved on your phone at 1 a.m. Now, John, this speaks to my own heart, because I don't get too involved with my own swing. You've seen it. It's bad. There's too much going on in there. But I am the guy who, if I'm going to play a new course, I'm sitting there the day before, I'm looking, oh, what might I have into this green, what am I going to go with off the tee? I can only imagine doing that for a course that you know so well, and you've been sitting there, like, I don't know that jitters can even begin to describe it. I'm just we're all so happy for you, and everybody, you know, every year people win the lottery, but the fact that we have at least a couple of Canadians there, I'm thrilled. You know, I have a bit of a nickname been bestowed upon me by my buddy Sam McKee here, the punch out kid. So can you please walk us through your wonderful punch out on the 13th?
Yeah, well, if you're the punch out king, then you actually might do pretty well at Augusta, because the one thing that you will notice is that I love about the course is, you know, there's a lot of room off the tee, which is great. It's like, you know, one of the It's not a hard course off the tee, but it is, as we all know, the hardest course in the world around the greens. But you can't, like, you can get into trees off the tee, but there's almost always a punch out, which is just a wonderful way to play golf. You know, you're not generally losing balls. You can punch it out. But yeah, okay, let's get to 13. It was the greatest par of my life for sure. So I was, the wheels were falling off. I had a great front nine. I played as well as I could possibly play on the front. You know, it's in the story, but I shot a 39 on the front with two birdies, and I'm a seven handicap. So I was on top of the world, and the last thing I should have done is look at the number on the scorecard after 9 holes, because my caddy was keeping it, but I'm looking over his shoulder, and I saw it start with a 3, and I was like, oh my God. So I was, I tripled 10, of course. And then anyways, I hit the ball in the water on 12, but I managed to save a bogey from the water on 12, which was a great bogey. But I get to 13, and things were not going well. And I know, you know, from years and years and years of watching, that there's lots of room on 13. Hit it anywhere, basically, except left. You do not want to go left of the creek. You know, you can blow it out right into the pine straw. You can do whatever you want right. And normally, you know, my miss is right, but I dead pull it left of the creek into the trees, and I'm thinking, this is, am I going to lose this golf ball? And then one of the guys in the group says, no, I see it. It's I can see it sitting up there. And I, okay. So we go over, I walk across the creek left, and I'm going to just chip out, you know, just sideways, you know, 20 yards probably. But my caddy, who was awesome dude, this guy, Graham, it's not normally the caddy that gives you the more aggressive choice, but he's like, you know, look through that tree. I think you can punch it out about 80 yards, maybe 100 yards down the fairway, and that would get you a chance to get on in 3, because the drive didn't go very far. It hit a tree. And so I said, all right. So I took a 5-iron, and I had to keep it really low and punch it about 100 yards, but I got it through, and it rolled through the fairway across just sort of on the edge of the pine straw. And now I have 205 yards, but I have to carry Raised Creek if I'm going to go for it to get there in 3. But I was like, well, things are falling off. I can't possibly lay up again and then have to go over the creek. So I take my
The round's points. Going bad. I better not play safely. Yeah, I love this thought.
Yeah, yeah. So I have 205 yards, have to carry the creek. I didn't want to hit a 4-iron because it would take all of it. So I hit a 5-wood, and it hit it really well. Of course, the ball's like, you know, complete uneven lie. It sails the green, though, and it's looking like it's going to the back bunker, but it almost looks like it's going to sail the back bunker, but it doesn't. It hits the top of the back bunker, but it doesn't roll all the way to the bottom. So now we get across to the green, and I'm now in the back bunker in 3 on a downhill lie, chipping back at that green with the creek in front of it. And I said to the caddy again, I'm like, I think the only chance I have is to try and get it out and have it hit this fringe here, and it might not take something off it. He's like, yeah, that's a great idea. Okay. And somehow I hit the shot. It hits the fringe. It takes the speed off it, and it just rolls so beautifully down, and it ends about, I think, probably 6 feet below the hole. And I have a 6-footer uphill for par, and I made it. So
wow, John.
I made a par from left of the creek and in the back bunker at 13, and it was, you know, it was the greatest par of my life.
Yeah, it's like Sergio when he was in the left when he won the Masters. So I can only imagine, though, when you're standing on all these tees, like the feeling of once you hit the shot off the tee, like having it being gone forever, you know, like getting the chance to play Augusta is almost like, you know, it's like the first time, I don't know, maybe not make a drug parallel here, but like you just get, you're chasing the dragon. You have that feeling. Do you know what I'm saying? Like you get to hit the shot and then it's gone forever. I don't know. It feels like it's almost a bittersweet sort of thing that you're doing out there, being able to say that you played it, but never getting to play it again or never winning the lottery again. It must be a weird feeling.
No, I do know what you mean. And it's funny because for the whole front nine, I just kept thinking, how can this day last forever? How, how long can I stay out on this golf course? You know, maybe I can, if I play really slow, I can be out here for 5 hours. But I'm just wanting the day to last forever. And then I looked at that scorecard, that 39, and you know the golfer and all of us. As soon as I saw the 39, I go, how fast can I get off this golf course with a score? Like, what hole are we on? Can I somehow get to the 15th hole right now with this same score? Like, it was just from how long can I spend out here to how fast can I get off? So it was everything, basically.
Okay, so I can't ask you to walk us through all of your shots, but you hit the Tiger chip, John. Like, we have to talk about this. Because me and McKee, we did a draft before Augusta of holes we would pick, our favorites. And I said 16 might be number one for me because I always push it right or I slice it right so I can just aim at that Tiger spot and it either comes in or I have the Tiger chip. You had the Tiger chip. How did it go? And what was it like standing there trying to channel your inner Tiger and turning Graham into Stevie?
Well, thanks for Graham, because I needed him the whole day because he was telling me where my chips had to basically end and then start their path to the hole. But he stood there and told me, he goes, you need your ball to end right here, and it should sort of, as it stops, it'll turn sideways and pick up speed and go down towards the hole. So I hit a great, perfect chip, and it went right to where he was standing, and it almost stopped up there, and then it started to roll down, and I sort of thought for a second, this looks really good, but like I said in the story, I'm not Tiger. It missed by about an inch, but it rolled about 4 feet past, and I made the par. So I got up and down from the Tiger spot. I didn't chip it in, but I got up and down.
Wow, that's pretty good. So what was the experience like before your round, like when they brought you in, and did they make you feel sort of like you remember? How did they treat you before you actually played?
Well, better than my family does, that's for sure. It was amazing. It was they say you can get there an hour before your tee time, and they mean it. I've talked to several guys that played. It's like if you show up an hour and 2 minutes before your tee time, they're like, oh, sorry, Mr. McCarthy, you're welcome to come back in 2 minutes. But it's, you know, it's 9:48. It's not 9:50. So we got there. I got there right at 9:50 because my tee time was 10:50. And so we drove up Magnolia Lane.
Oh, God.
And I was like, slow down. I have a video. Like, we're allowed to take pictures and video. We just aren't allowed to share them. So I have lots of great video if anyone ever comes to my basement. But I'm just like, slow down, slow down, slow down. And then we get there, and, you know, they take the clubs. And then they say to me, they said, go into the clubhouse and go up the stairs to the right. You have a locker in the champion's locker room. I was like, what is happening? So I go up the stairs, and I'm all of a sudden I'm in the champion's locker room, and it's tiny. I mean, it is it's less deep than a hockey locker room. Like, you open the door, it's less deep than a hockey locker room and only a little bit wider. So it's this tiny room. First thing I see is Hideki Matsuyama's green jacket is in a glass case. And then it's just lockers and two little tables. And so I start looking around instantly, and first locker I saw was Arnold Palmer's and then Jack Nicklaus. And then I looked for Tiger Woods and I looked for Mike Weirs. And then I finally got around to, and I found my name on Tom Watson and Claude Harmon's locker because they share lockers. So I shared a locker with Tom Watson and Claude Harmon that day. And it's like you could stay in that, you know, I love old school locker rooms, and that's what it is. It's like, it's an old school looking little locker room, just so cool. I could stay there all day, but like I said, I have an hour till I have to hit a tee shot. So there's also a breakfast buffet in the next room. And I'm like, well, I probably couldn't eat anything. So I was like, I don't need breakfast. I need a coffee and I need to get to the driving range. So I spent about 10 minutes in the champion's locker room. And then I went down to the range, the tournament range that it was still open. So that's where we were. And I started hitting some balls, and the range session range was going really good, which I was super happy about.
That's never a good sign when the range goes well. It doesn't translate.
I was, after all this time off from Canadian winter, I was a little unsure how it would go, but the range session was going great. Everything was good. The only thing is the time was just going so fast. Like, you know, when it's like when you wake up and your alarm goes off and you're like, oh, I've got half an hour. Then you look at your watch again and you have like two more minutes because time's in fast forward. So, you know, I thought I was going okay. And then I looked at my watch and I had 15 minutes for the tee time, and I hadn't gone to the short game area, so I had like 10 minutes to work on putting and chipping at Augusta for the first time before I went over to the first hole. So everything was in fast forward, but no, it was the experience before the round and during the round was just incredible. And I'm lucky I got a really cool caddy. He was a young guy who was just super chill. I told him several times, like, I need you to stop me from freaking out, I need you to keep me calm. He's like, yeah, man, yeah, okay.
So the thing that I've always found so fascinating about Augusta, and one of the main reasons that I, not one of the main reasons, but one of the big reasons I want to go, is the no phone thing, Johnny. And, mm-hmm. you know, you even when I play nice courses now, you always have that feeling of taking your phone out and getting pictures and, you know, wanting to sort of document it. And I know that the, in your story that you're trying to find a camera or whatever all over Augusta. Man, camera sales at a, in a, that are on there must be great at that time of year. But I just, not having your phone and feeling completely disconnected and just being able to kind of enjoy it, I absolutely love that aspect of Augusta. And it must have been really cool to just kind of disconnect.
Yeah, well, like you said, I was trying to find a point-and-shoot camera, and they were sold out in Target, Walmart, and Best Buy. And I guess because there's so many, you know, 40,000 fans every day, and probably 5% of them show up with their phones, camera. And they're told to go back to their car, so then they go looking for a camera. But we managed to get one, and it was cool not to have your phone out there. Actually, when I was getting some texts the night before, I mentioned in the story, I got one from a pro out in Whistler, and he says, "What's your handicap? We're all betting on your score." So I was like, I was kind of happy not to have my phone with me. I didn't need any of those sorts of distractions. So,
boys, I shot a 39 on the front.
Yeah, exactly. So it's nice not to have it for sure. And then even my camera, I just, I gave it to my caddy, and he's like, "I'll take care of this. You just focus on trying to golf." So it was great.
That's awesome. And I know it wasn't technically one, but I think you invited us to come to your basement and then play some golf with you at Pulpit
Yes.
Club. I think that's what happened when you said that's what we have to do if we want to see all those pictures. John, honestly, we're so happy for you. Couldn't have happened to a nicer guy. Although I'm sure there are some folks in Canadian golf media sharpening their knives. I haven't got to do it yet. Well, I'll just leave that unsaid.
Yeah, thank you. I've never been cursed and congratulated in a single text message more than this week.
Is that a pat on the back or a stab in the back? Okay, there he goes. John McCarthy.
Thanks, Johnny.
National golf writer, Post Media. One of our favorites. Love having him on. So happy you got to have that experience.
And he's gone.
Yes, he is. Man, McKee. Honestly, I mean, what we would all give, again, if you have not read the story, go read it in the Sun. It's a tremendous piece of journalism. He does the perfect mix of walking you through the round shot by shot and giving you enough other details as well. A great, great read. Check it out there.
We just got two amazing texts from the same person.
Read them.
Okay, so the first one is, "You boys are speaking to my heart. Please tell me this is a podcast so I can send it to my 68-year-old uncle who is adamantly refuses to admit, and he always slows us down. So he's playing the wrong tees. Love you guys. Will from Georgina." So I appreciate that text, and it is on podcast. It's on Apple and Spotify if you want to find the podcast. And the second one is, "The golf show should be 3 hours long, in my opinion." I don't agree with that. I like the hour. I think that's good for us. "I could listen to you boys chew the fat all morning." Thank you. "Extra shout out goes to Gunner's Woom Broom."
Whoa.
"An absolutely beautiful face furniture."
I've heard a lot of names for it. I don't know about
I've never heard either of those. So I really appreciate it. The duster's looking spectacular this morning on our little
thank you
chat. So
there's only and as always, we love hearing the text. 590, get them in. The one thing I'll say, there is only one 3 hour long golf show podcast, and it's actually if we had our druthers, like 3:37. And it's when we go play golf.
Yes.
That's the only version. And let's be honest, mostly Leafs talk and complaining by me when we're doing that, along with talking through our game. McKee, got to get to it quickly. Bryson, he's hurt. It stinks. We don't have time to litigate everything. I am somebody who does not root for him. I do not pull for him. I love it when he's in the mix, and I love it when he falters late. But the game is in a better place when he is Bryson, being the He-Man, being the strong man. I don't know that we'll ever get back to that, and I think it's sad.
Yeah, and listen, everyone was right. You know, you can't swing like that. You can't play like that and have it hold up. You can't swing every day 200 miles an hour 100 times, a day and have your body hold up, the wrist. That's a tough one. Like, that spot for golf is somewhat important. So I'm upset by this. I'm sure he'll come back. It's kind of a good chance maybe for him to look in the mirror a little bit and kind of reevaluate how he swings a club. The problem is he's a pretty hard-headed guy, and I'm not sure that he's going to really reevaluate. Maybe he'll try to go back to it. But like you said before the show, he was a sick golfer before he beefed up, so hopefully he goes back to that. And yeah, what a show today, Gunner. I love John McCarthy so much, and I'm so happy he got to do that.
I'm so happy as well. Yeah, let's bring back old school Bryson. Side saddle putting Bryson. Oh, be weird God. In a different way. And then you'll have to own it, McKee.
Now
Sam McKee, Brent Gunning on the golf show. Wherever it is, you get your pods. And right here on Sportsnet 590 The Fan, thanks so much for listening on this Saturday morning.